The secret in any purchase is...
So the big question is, what are top agents doing to absolutely crush it in real estate? To get the answers, we interview the top real estate agents to learn their secrets to success. If you would like one-on-one access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below.
My name is Andrew Dunn.
And my name is Peter Michael. Welcome to Elite Agent Secrets.
I want to switch gears and move on to your second topic, which is alternative investing strategies. So when it comes, I guess I want you to unpack this. Are you still actively doing a lot of investing, or do you sell a lot of homes to investors?
Yeah, I do actually. Real quick though, I wanted to just touch back on the luxury home thing that we were talking about. That is actually an area that I think you're starting to see actually a slowdown in the $150 million homes and above. A lot of them are kind of quietly going to auction now. And it's because they're a good storage of wealth. And how else are you going to insure $100 million, right? You know where it is, what it is. You know, you can go touch it. You can go feel it. You can rent it out. You can pull out, you can leverage it. But I think those are starting to slow down because those have got pretty overvalued. And I think you're going to see those flatten out. Not going to be as many $200 million. I think $100 million and 100 to 30 is going to be kind of where LA sits for a while. But anyway, but I digress. Yes, I still do a lot of investing. In fact, I have properties in multiple countries, some of which I've never even been to.
How many properties?
What's that?
How many have you got properties? Portfolio.
I just put on the board of directors for a company that has tens of thousands of properties. But personally, my personal portfolio, I have properties in Georgia, the country of Georgia, the state of Georgia. We have properties in Latvia. We have properties in Arizona and California. I mean, they're spread out and they're all really unique. Like some are STRs, some are short-term rentals. I mean, some are raw land, which are good to land bank. But I also found an interesting little program called HipCamp, which is the Airbnb for camping. So I literally have people pay to go out and camp on the land. Keep in mind, there are no improvements. It's literally, there's dirt here. I tell you where to go. They go and they have a ball, and it's amazing to me. I when they approached me at first, I said, no one's going to do that. Who, you have to be like screwing with me. Like, what the hell are you guys talking about? They said, no, we have properties where people will hike for 45 minutes just to access the property and pay to stay there. So,
this is like mind blowing. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I have somebody on it. Hold on. Yeah, somebody's there right now, actually, camping on. That one is a piece in the desert. I have 10 acres in LA County, in northern LA County here, and it's got a gorgeous view and, whatever. I bought it for that one. I bought it for $1,000 years ago in an auction. And I've made, probably cost me $100 a year in taxes. I don't know. It's something very low, but I know 2 days of it being rented and it's paid for. It's 100% cash flow every year, more than 100% actually. So, that, and then the STRs, the condo hotels, I think is a space that's very interesting that a lot of people don't understand, and they leave a lot of money on the table there. And we have those all over the world. In fact, that's what we're building in Batumi, Georgia, is a new condo hotel that's almost done. I'm very excited about it because overall, the short-term rental space is pretty, I don't want to say misunderstood, but it's not, most people don't do it right. So they get in with no plan. They buy a property. They go, great, I own the property. Rich, now I'm rich, right? It's like there's no, it's kind of like you ever talk to a little kid and they go, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to start a business and then something, then rich. Half the time, I think that's kind of what it is when people buy properties.
I've talked to many adults like that, not just kids.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right. Where I think, yeah. I mean, most of my clients I talk to, and they're like, yeah, so I have this property and it's not going well and I don't know why. And it's because they had no plan. They just bought it and thought, okay, now magic happens. So, I think with the STR space, the short-term rental space, it's a really, really interesting space and there's a lot of potential there. But most people don't understand it. They don't manage it right. They don't buy right. As we all know, the secret in any purchase is the buy. As long as you buy right and you can maintenance your debt, you can pay your debt, you're going to win long term in real estate. I mean, the only time you lose in real estate is when you stop, right? If you stop, you lose. But as long as you can keep going, keep moving forwards, even if you have a loss here, you can take it out of a gain there and a gain there. It comes out of a loss here and it all works out. But, if you buy with no plan, you're just stuck with a property and you don't know how you're going to get out. There's no exit plan. There's no operational day-to-day strategy. So you get stuck in it. So my favorite right now, I'm really excited about short-term rentals in general. I was just put on the board of directors for a company called Houselet, which is kind of like Airbnb and Zillow had a really pretty baby. And so what they do is they focus on 30 to 90 day furnished rentals, which is actually a big drop. There's a big missing part of the market there. And most people don't realize this, but more than 20% of the bookings on Airbnb are over 30 days. So that to me is a really interesting area to invest in. We just set up a deal where there's a house in Palm Springs. They put 10% down. So it was $950,000 house, 10% down. And in the first year, it'll gross about $175,000 and it will net $125,000. So it'll be 100% cash flow positive in the first year just through STRs.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in here and let you know, if you would like access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below. Now back to the show. I'm curious about the international side, and also like me and Peter have been dealing with some clients on the whole SDR front, mm-hmm. which is like the problem a lot of states have. Like I used to live in New York, Airbnbs can't be under a month. They brought that out when I lived there, 2015, 2017, that came out then. So it's been like that for a long time. And like we know in Boca, Florida area, like certain properties, you can't do it. We know certain states, cities, you're not allowed to do it. A lot of people, which is kind of scary, a lot of agents potentially listening, don't realize is actually state legislation, certain places, cities that you can't do short-term rentals. You're not allowed to.
Yeah. Like legally, you are. And then there's a lot of places that you need the permits now, which is a great workaround in LA. But there's still a vulnerability there people don't realize. I think in Breckenridge, they just capped the number of permits you could have, and they took away 4,000 people's permits. So they capped it, I think, to 5,000, and they took away 4,000 people's permits. So the key is, so certain states, like I think Arizona, they just said, okay, you can do Airbnb anywhere you want, or short-term rentals anywhere you want, as long as there's no HOA. LA, you have to have the permit, but it doesn't seem like they're going to cap it. It really, if you look at it, a lot of it has to do with if there's a lot of hotels in the area or not. So like here in Malibu, they allow it with the permits now pretty openly because there's not enough hotels to
serving people. Exactly the reason they brought it in New York, because the hotel industry was just getting fucking demolished by the Airbnbs. That's exactly the reason they went, the hotels are going to go out of business if we allow this to continue. Also, there was stuff with like tenants and people who were New York born and bred getting pushed out because of price hikes, because of short term. There's all this shit that went on when I was there. It was interesting to see how they kind of dealt with it, you know?
Well, New York is such a weird market. I believe if you look like at the ultra luxury, so 10 million and above, I believe there's more vacant units in New York of ultra luxury properties than there are people in the world to fill them.
Really?
I read that yesterday, actually, in an article. It was something very interesting. I know they have a, I don't know if those numbers are right, but I know they have a massive number of vacant ultra luxury
in property. The high rises.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they just need to park their money, right? Like you said, it's a good insurance policy. You know exactly where that $10 million sitting. You can always touch it, feel it, and you don't have to worry about a thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And so one of the reasons I like international, especially in developing markets, is, you know, markets here, they have ups and downs. And, you know, when they go up, they're great. And when they go down, it's not the best. But some of these developing markets, they haven't had any kind of a recession in over 20 years because they just have so much room to grow. You know, I mean, there's different volatilities, different things you have to look at, and you have to understand the structure of the country and, you know, the politics of it and ownership for Americans or wherever you're from, right? You know, one of the big things that attracted me to Batumi, for example, which is the one that's just finished being built, I'm super excited about, is they opened it up for U.S. For international investment. And one of the biggest things that created Dubai's insane rise, where it literally, you know, the fastest city to ever grow in the history of the world, 20 years from basically zero to everything, was international investment. One of the big things for New York historically, where it went from being a center for our country to a center of the world, was international investment. So there's a few factors you can look at for international investing and for yourself. And one of it is that town or city or country open for other international investors? Right. So that's a big thing. Are you protected from whatever country you're from? In this case, obviously, I'm from the US. So am I protected legally? And can I sue you if you try to screw me, basically? You know, and then the gains there were just insane. I mean, even before the pandemic, things were going up 5-6% a year. And then now it's a very volatile part of the world, but it's near the volatile part. So it's actually create the instability in surrounding countries has created a huge gain in value and in desirability of that area. And already you have a combination of revenge travel, and then now all the other pressures pushing into that area.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you would like one-on-one access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below.